Montana News, I'm Peyton Butler. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks announced yesterday it's crafting a new statewide management plan for grizzly bears. Nick Mott reports.
Right now, grizzly management is ecosystem-specific. Montana's home to at least part of 4 of 6 of those habitats in the lower 48. That includes a chunk of the Greater Yellowstone ecosystem and all of the habitat in and around Glacier National Park, known as the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem. The state also houses all of the area through which grizzlies are likely to cross if they connect between those two regions.
We got things pretty well nailed in the heart of the Yellowstone and the heart of the NCDE, but what about in between, or what about the Bitterroot, or what about the prairie?
Ken McDonald, Wildlife Bureau Chief at Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, says a statewide plan will promote better management as grizzlies expand. State biologists say bear populations are growing and that connection is imminent and could boost the genetic health of both populations. McDonald said recommendations from the governor's Grizzly Bear Advisory Council will help form the statewide management plan, which could take 2 to 3 years to create. That council, composed of 18 Montanans with diverse viewpoints on grizzlies, is holding its third meeting Wednesday and Thursday this week at the University Center in Missoula. I'm Nick Mott, Montana Public Radio.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is offering a reward for information about an unusually high number of spotlighting cases north of Hardin. Spotlighting is the use of artificial light for shooting game after hours. FWP game warden Jake Barzin says he's picked up as many as 15 deteriorating deer carcasses along Highway 47 and adjacent county roads between Hardin and Custer this fall. Governor Steve Bullock says he's not sure what's next for him now that he's withdrawn from the presidential race, but he's definitely not running for the U.S. Senate. MTPR's Corin Cates Carney reports.
Bullock met with the state capitol press corps for the first time Wednesday since dropping out of his long-shot bid for the Democratic Party's nomination. Bullock's announcement ending his campaign prompted renewed calls from within his own party for the two-term governor to challenge U.S. Senate incumbent Republican Steve Daines in 2020. Nationally, Democrats would need to gain 4 seats in the election next year to outright control the Senate. Some Democrats see Bullock as the best candidate to potentially pick up one of those seats in Montana. Bullock says the end to his presidential campaign does not mean he'll run for the Senate.
I've said it before, I've said it during, I said it when I got out. So yeah, I'm not running for Senate.
Bullock says his decision not to run for the Senate is personal and did not elaborate Wednesday. In previous interviews, Bullock said his experience is as an executive, not as a legislator. If one of the remaining Democratic presidential candidates is able to beat Trump in the 2020 election, Bullock says he's open to a cabinet position.
If a president-elect called, you'd have to take the call. But right now, and look, I'm focusing on, I still get to do this job for a year, and there's still a lot more to do.
Bullock says that includes continuing the work of recently established government councils on grizzly bear management, climate, and forest land policy. He also says the state has work to do on its new Medicaid expansion program, which could soon include work requirements if approved by the federal government. Bullock is entering his final term as governor and can't seek re-election. As for what comes next,
after I'm done being governor, I have no idea.
Bullock says he's glad he ran for president, even though it didn't turn out how he hoped. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
National park officials in Wyoming have announced plans for the selective slaughter of between 600 and 900 Yellowstone bison this winter to manage population numbers. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle reported Tuesday that the officials expect most of the animals to be taken by hunters or shipped to slaughter. Some would stay alive in corrals or under park quarantine. Officials say the exact number of bison expected to be culled out of the estimated 4,900 depends on winter migration. Montana's U.S. senators today introduced a bill aimed at stopping the spread of aquatic invasive species like zebra and quagga mussels. They have the potential to devastate hydroelectric systems and public water pipes and take over lakes. The Stop the Spread of Invasive Mussels Act of 2019 would authorize $25 million per year in matching grants under the Bureau of Reclamation for boat inspections and decontamination stations. The bill would also direct the Interior Secretary to consult and coordinate with affected states, tribes, and federal agencies to reduce jurisdictional gaps. The bipartisan bill is based on recommendations from the nonpartisan 22-member Western Governors Association. Most bills to establish regulations about aquatic invasive species have failed in recent Congresses. Invasive mussels were first discovered in Montana in 2016. The subsequent samples have come back negative. The state, tribes, and other partners greatly beefed up efforts to screen for and prevent the spread of mussels in recent years, though some groups argue significant failures in inspections and quarantines remain. Once the mussels have become established in a water body, there is no method to eradicate them. A young male grizzly that made his way back into the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness near the Montana-Idaho border this year has made the trek back to the Libby area to den up for the winter. MTPR's Aaron Bolton reports the journey showed that bear connectivity to the unpopulated Bitterroot ecosystem is possible.
The young grizzly was brought from the Whitefish Mountain Range near Glacier National Park to the Cabinet Yak ecosystem in 2018 as part of a long-term program to increase bear numbers in the far northwest corner of the state. During a presentation at an interagency grizzly bear committee meeting in Missoula Tuesday, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service grizzly biologist Wayne Kazworm said data transmitted from the bear's GPS collar shows that he immediately ventured south when he was released.
The bear did go south, crossed the Clark Fork River, and spent time between Clark Fork, Idaho, and Heron, Montana.
After the young grizzly visited a black bear baiting site in Idaho, he was transported back to the Cabinet Yak Mountains, where he spent last winter. But this spring, he ventured even further south, into the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness, where there's no established grizzly population.
Spent quite a bit of time for the months of June, the last part of June, July, August, and even early September, inside the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness.
The young bear's journey has given hope that grizzlies could naturally begin to repopulate the Bitterroot, one of six established recovery zones for the threatened species. The grizzly has made his way back to the Cabinet Yak ecosystem for the winter. Kazram said there are some gaps in the data transmitted from the bear's collar, but it's known the young male was able to cross Interstate 90 and other busy highways. Once Kazram obtains the collar, he will be able to download the complete dataset that will show all of the bear's movements. That information could shed light on potential connectivity to the Bitterroot. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.